Almanatic. Thanks, Mark. Mark is my sponsor. He made me do this. I was taught a long time ago when I first showed up here that when you're asked to do something, you do it. You don't ask questions. You just follow direction. And the message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Message is hope, and the promise is freedom. And when it's all said and done, that's all we have to offer, is our message of hope. That's what the fifth tradition is about. Now, I have a tendency. I'm not Mark. I'm not a comedian. I don't play the trumpet. I have a background teaching, so I know how to lecture. And I know that's not what we do here, so I'm going to try very hard to share my experience. And if it sounds like a lecture, I'm sorry. I'll make an amend later. You know, our traditions, I'll start this way. I remember early on when I first showed up here, I went to a meeting. And I was told that one of the ways we get in service is by reading one of the pieces of literature that we read before the meeting. So I was looking around, and the only one that was left was the traditions. And I said to myself, out loud but quietly, shit, I gotta read the traditions. And an old timer who had really good hearing heard me say it. And he pulled me aside and he lectured me. And he told me this. He said the traditions are the backbone of Narcotics Anonymous. He said that without your traditions, there would be no meeting. Without a meeting, I would never have found my sponsor. I would never have built a network. I would never have learned where the solution was. I would never have been able to give back through service. I would never have been introduced to my higher power. That's what he told me. Of course, I felt like this big after that. Because when I showed up at the rooms, I thought I knew everything. I was always the smartest guy in the room. That's the lie that the disease always told me. I knew in my heart of hearts I wasn't, but I was an overachiever. And when I showed up here, all I could see were the differences. I mean, some of these cats had tattoos all over their bodies. Some of them didn't have many teeth. Some of them dressed not like me. In fact, when I got here, every meeting I went to, I came home from work and I showered and dressed up like I was going on a date. Listen, I'd wear a nice button down, a blazer with a lapel pin. I won't tell you what it was because you probably stopped listening to me. It had a little elephant on it. There was no reason I should have been here because, like, I grew up in the suburbs. I had two parents in the home. I did well in school. Went to church every weekend. And I was a damn Republican. How could I have turned out to be an addict? So, when I got here, all I could see were the differences. Right? I remember when I finally came clean with my family and I told my mom, you know, with tears in my eyes that I couldn't stop using drugs. Her response was, just stop. You're smart. You went to college. What did I do wrong? I said, it wasn't you. I just don't know what to do. I cannot stop. So that was back in 1990. I went to a treatment center in the middle of the country because I knew that if I got away from my environment, I would be able to stay clean. So I went there for 28 days. The only material that was around was the basic text and some pamphlets. I read them all. I was a good student. And I thought that by reading that material, I would be able to not stop using, but learn to use successfully. So I was in the middle of the country in a little town called Enid, Oklahoma. And when I left treatment and got all this applause from the staff, in fact, one of the counselors said, Rob, you're more like a counselor, not like a patient. That's all I needed to hear because I knew how to talk the talk. I knew the big words. And I had everybody bamboozled, so I thought. So I thought when I left there, there's no way I'm going to find my drug of choice in this little one-horse town in the middle of the country. It took me 12 minutes. I knew exactly where to go, what part of town. I knew what people were standing on the corner that had what I wanted. And of course, when I first opened the window of the car and said, yo, because I had learned this language, like, I learned things like baby mama and for real, John. So I thought if I use that language, I won't think I'm an officer because that's always clean cut. And they say, hello, officer, how are you tonight? I said, dude, I got one of these. It's a crack pipe. Anyway, 12 minutes. And it took me 17 years to finally surrender. 17 years. When I got here this time, and my head started to clear, I looked in the mirror and I was in my 50s. One of the greatest messages of hope that I can deliver to any of you young guys that are here, you have the whole life ahead of you.
That's right.
You don't have to open your eyes one day and be old and be alone. I worked the steps, and I've worked a fifth step with my sponsor. One of the hardest things that I did in the work that I do here was right at that fourth step. Because when you're about 55 or 56 years old, and you've never written an honest first step or fourth step, you have about 55 or 56 years of shit to write about. It's okay to curse, right? Fuck yeah! See, I never talk like that. You guys started me talking like that. I was a school teacher, and I never used bad language, right? Now every other word out of my mouth is bad. But it's truthful. So, it took me 3 years and 7 days to write that fourth step. And it wasn't like I was writing every day. It was like I was procrastinating every day. And the reason was because there was so much pain involved in reliving on paper all that stuff that I had done. And when I started writing on that fourth step, stuff that I had forgotten, that I had pushed all the way to the back, started to surface and it became more painful. But I was persistent because I read in the basic text that those who don't do an honest fourth step are bound to use again. And I wanted my using days to be behind me. So writing all of that stuff down was one thing. Sharing it with another human being and discovering the exact nature was another. And I was really nervous because I always had trust issues. I discovered that the mother of all defects is fear. That I was afraid to be rejected. That's why I overachieved. Because I wanted to be good at something. Even before I picked up the drug. I wanted to be good at something. And I thought that if I kept studying and kept preparing, I could be good at something. If I discovered I wasn't, I would never take a risk and try harder. Because I was afraid of failure. So when I did that fifth step with my sponsor and shared some stuff that nobody else knows, some of the illegal shit that I didn't get caught at, some of that white collar crime that occurred, he just sat there and said, okay. He shared some of his four step with me and made me feel a lot more comfortable and relaxed and at ease. Doing a fifth step, learning to be honest and to become vulnerable, helped me in what I do today to practice the fifth tradition. You know, I think about the fifth tradition as like the centerpiece, the axis of a wheel. And all of the spokes are the other traditions which point to the fifth tradition. Whether it's the first tradition talks about unity, the second dismisses us from being authorities. There is one ultimate authority. The third gives us license to become members when we say we are. The fourth is about autonomy. The sixth is about cooperation, not affiliation. The seventh is about collecting the money and nobody else can contribute. All of those things, all of those, the 12th about anonymity, all of them point to that fifth tradition. Because all we have to offer is hope to the addict who still suffers. You know, there are six things I thought about that helped me practice this fifth tradition. The first thing is I learned to circulate. I learned to walk into the room, not at first. I learned this through the step process and working the traditions. Walk into a room and circulate. Don't just come in and sit down and be by yourself. When I start to circulate, I can make friends. I can go up to people and let them know who I am and welcome them. And one of the things I can tell them as I share my experience, strength, and hope with them, which is the third thing, and I've done this a lot, I go up to a newcomer and I tell them this: you never have to use again. The first meeting I went to, the first person that came up and hugged me told me that, and I believed him. By working this fifth tradition, I'm able to practice honesty and integrity. And I learned here that I never act out of vengeance. And I learned to become courageous. And by practicing those six things, I'm able to reach out to other recovering addicts, other struggling addicts, and they help me stay clean. And they help me to continue to recover. We're told that the groups, if we're honest, if we're caring, if we share, if we're empathic, we can be in service. That's what it says in the book, in the basic text. A couple of the things that I learned here, and this is really important. We don't troll for newcomers in the rooms. Now, we always joke about that in our group. I said, we're going to a convention, so first thing to do is troll for the newcomers. Now, what that means is that we stay away from newcomers and allow them to have their process.
That's right.
Right? Because I was given an opportunity to get clean and to begin to recover without all the drama of getting involved with a newcomer. Because by doing that, I deprived the newcomer of not having the drama of being involved with someone like me. Very important. And I suggest that, and I give direction to anybody that will listen to let the newcomer have their process. The fifth tradition is all about action, and it's all about practice. What I learned here was to stop thinking and to start doing. Because my thinking always got me in trouble. So why would I think that when I showed up here and started working a program, that all of a sudden my thinking would be any different than it was when I got here? But by practicing, by taking action, I'm able to do what I'm supposed to do because someone told me to do it. Yesterday's Just for Today talked about keep coming back. And it was a perfect devotional for coming to this convention this weekend. And we talked about it with some of the guys I rode down with. We talked about how exciting it is to have a network of people to be able to hang with other recovering addicts who understand me like nobody on the outside does. That I can share the crazy shit that goes on inside my head and they can relate. I want to be with people like that. Today's Just for Today talks about acting as if. And acting as if means that even when we don't understand what it is we're supposed to do, we do what we're told. When we don't have a relationship with a higher power, we can still learn to pray. When we don't have the knowledge we think we need to put our hand up and share, we put our hand up and share what's going on inside us. We learn to share honestly here. We learn to practice some spiritual principles. And the fifth tradition, the fifth step, helped me to learn to be honest, to learn to become vulnerable, to learn to accept the love that others have to offer me. And by learning those things in the fifth step, I'm able to practice them in the fifth tradition. Thanks for letting me share.